BBC Six Music.
Hello and welcome to the big British castle. It's time for Adam and Joe to broadcast on the radio. There'll be some music and some random talking in between. And then eventually the whole thing will just end.
Hello, listeners. This is Adam and Joe on BBC Six Music. Happy Saturday morning. We're back from our holiday. Adam's back from his holiday. I'm back from being chained to the grindstone.
Oh, how was that?
Expression? It was brilliant.
I love the grindstone. I love being chained to the grindstone.
Have you seen Conan the Barbarian?
Yeah.
Do you remember the bit when he's chained to the grindstone?
Oh, it's the sexiest part.
It's the passage from boy to man. He's chained on as a boy and then it dissolves to his massive calves.
Wait a second, I don't think I do remember that bit. In what way is he chained to it? Are they sort of grinding?
Yeah.
Oh,
they're grinding whatever they grinded back in Conan days.
Is that the way they did it in Conan days?
Yeah.
To make the transition?
Hovis. He was working for Hovis.
Right.
Other breads are available.
There you go. Well, it's a beautiful day this morning, listeners, here in London town. And I think we missed a trick, in fact, by not playing Beautiful Day by U2 to kick off the show.
How stupid of us.
It would have been good, don't you reckon? Because that's a great song and it's apposite because it's a beautiful day. Did you see?
And we could have put camera crews in listeners' houses and filmed them as they punched the air and smiled and then cut it together for a trailer.
That would have been perfect.
It's a beautiful day. Da, 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 da. Yes.
And they could have had shots of us laughing.
Yeah.
And stuff
but
like
by an estate.
Oh, what?
By a council estate.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, all trailers have to be done in council estates these days.
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
Whereabouts would you have been on the estate?
In the sink.
I would have been leaning out of a window. Right, right. Mm. And, I would have been leaning out of a window and shouting abuse.
That sounds good.
Yeah, don't you think?
Yes. So, listen, we've got great music coming up for you in the next 3 hours until noon. We've got Text the Nation. We've got various bits and bobs to chat about. There's no song wars. Not after the disgrace of 3 weeks ago.
We're resolving it, though, right?
Ah, we've got the winner of the Happy Birthday Song Wars, if anyone remembers that far back.
Yeah, it was a long time ago.
Kids these days, they can hardly remember a minute back because of all the drugs in their system.
Exactly.
And the fights.
That's true, that's true. Listen, let's play some music right now. Here's the Zootons, and this is Always Right Behind You. Always Right Behind You by the Zootons. That was the one that we said sounded like Hoochie Packet from the 70s last time, I think. And it still does. Is that out now? Is that in the shops? Available for physical release?
Physical release in the shops.
Oh.
Mopping aisle six.
Oh, okay. But that's great stuff, though, isn't it? That music.
I love that music.
Don't you think? I mean, yeah. Music is fun.
It's the combination of notes that does it.
Yeah, exactly, and you can tap your feet and that kind of thing. So, man, how have you been the last couple of weeks?
I've been fine, thank you very much.
I haven't seen you since 2 weeks ago.
2 weeks, yeah, I've been fine, thank you.
2 weeks. What have you been up to?
Watched some films, watched a lot of telly, sat in the garden, worked.
What was the best film you saw?
Oh, my best film. I'd have to think about that.
Well, I only saw one film in the last couple of weeks, and it was Nim's Island. With Jodie Foster.
That's good. Isn't that the sequel to Andre the Seal?
Is it?
I think it might be.
No, I don't think it. Maybe Andre the Seal might be in it.
Is there a seal in it?
Yeah, there's a funny seal.
And there's a little girl?
Seal farts. There's nothing funnier than a farting seal.
Nothing.
Or seal farting, the singer, is amusing as well. But he's not in this, unfortunately. Nim's Island is, it's very long. It's very long. And Jodie Foster's not that good in it.
Really?
Yeah, I was disappointed because I'm a big Jodie Foster fan. I'll see anything that she's in.
Dr. Foster.
Yeah. She can operate on me anytime, Dr. Foster. I love her. But Nim's Island, what's going on there?
Do you know, if they made a Michael Jackson biopic, she should play Jacko.
Right.
Have you ever noticed the amazing physical resemblance between Jodie Foster and Michael Jackson?
She has the same nose, doesn't she, now?
Exactly the same face.
The post-op nose.
Yeah.
Although, of course, she's had no surgery on her nose to
That's true.
Get there.
As far as we know.
As far as we know, yeah. That's a very good idea.
Thanks.
What would happen in it? I mean, obviously, it would be like his life, but...
Yeah, it would be really amazing for 90 minutes and really weird and depressing for the last half hour. It would take a sudden twist. 90 minutes, you know?
Her voice is probably too deep to be Jacko.
That's true.
That's the thing.
She'd have to be put through a vocoder.
But in every other way, she's got what it takes, I reckon. Now, I'm going to play you a free play now, listeners, and after this we're going to announce the winner of Song Wars, our Happy Birthday Song Wars. This is by Colin Blunstone. Do you know who Colin Blunstone is, Joe?
Is he a listener?
No, he's not.
Colin Blunstone sent in this song.
From Cheam. Colin's done a cover of What Becomes of the Broken Hearted. He's done it very well, because Colin's got a brilliant voice. Well done, Colin.
Well done, Col.
Colin, he used to be in a band. He got a band together with some mates, and
all
they were
the
called...
instruments he plays are kitchen implements.
That's true. And his band used to be called The Zombies.
Right.
So, Blunstone was in The Zombies, and The Zombies distinguished themselves, apart from being, like, one of the quintessential bands of the 60s, as being very intelligent. I think between them they had more A-levels than any other English band. That's a fact about The Zombies that I know. I don't know if they were good grades. You know, if they were around these days, they'd all be A's, because A-levels are so easy nowadays.
They're worthless.
They're totally worthless. A++++. Now, that's a good grade.
Mm.
But otherwise, forget about it. But this version of What Becomes of the Broken Hearted, which came out in the early 80s, is brilliant and very strange sounding. And I think you'll enjoy it. And it's on this compilation of Zombies and Colin Blunstone and related stuff that's just come out, which is wicked. But here is Blunstone with his version of What Becomes the Broken Hearted. Broken Hearted, not the version that I thought it was. My mistake, listeners, I failed to specify which version I was talking about when I asked for Jude to dig it out of the library. And that's just the sort of bog-standard version. I was talking about a version that he did with Dave Stewart, the musical genius from Eurythmics, that he did in the early 80s, which is amazing, and which I will bring in at some other juncture to play you. And it is on the on this new Zombies compilation, you'll find the version that I was talking about. I mean, that was nice.
Was it?
Come on, he's...
Was it nice? It was good.
That was good. It's a classic song. He's got one of the greatest voices in pop, Colin Blunstone. But it wasn't the thing that I wanted to play you folks. You know, you could have heard that on Nipples FM.
Yawn FM.
Yeah.
Snooze FM.
There you go. Anyway, it's time now to resolve Song Wars. Ladies and gentlemen, let's have the jingle.
It's time for Song Wars. The war of the songs. A couple of tunes by a couple of proms. So check it out.
Yes, Song Wars 3 weeks ago was alternative birthday songs. We were trying to cash in on the lucrative Happy Birthday copyright market. And it is popularly regarded as the worst Song Wars ever, even though I take responsibility for that. My effort was shockingly awful.
Mm.
It makes me want to swear on air.
Right.
I feel those are the only... I won't. Of course I won't. I'm just saying I've got the impulse, because that's how bad it was.
Yeah.
But, so I think it's pretty much got to be a shoo-in.
You reckon? Let's have
I'm expecting 0%.
No. That would be a first, if you
it
got zero.
If it was 0%, if it wasn't 0%, I'm going to be worried about the person who's voted for it.
Yeah. Well, the person who would have voted for it, no disrespect, would be just someone who fancied you or
something
like that. Yeah. Can we have the envelope?
You know, yes.
Joe Cornish is taking the envelope.
Envelope is sealed with sellotape. Crikey. Much, isn't it, Jude? Have other DJs been trying to steal the results? Here we go. So what was your song called, Adam?
It was called Happy Birthday Time.
And mine was called The Birthday Reply Song.
Yeah.
This was good. It was quite funny.
It was quite funny. It was a little annoying. Grating.
Hey, look at that. Well, I've got 17%.
That's very respectable, isn't it?
And you've win with 83.
Well, that's...
I'm going to look through the emails and find out who voted. See if I can figure out what's going on in their heads. Congratulations.
Thanks, man. It means an awful lot to me.
Not much of a victory, really.
Shall we hear my winning song? Now, the question is, who shall I make this song to? Because there's a gap, and I can sing Happy Birthday to
anyone. Is it not your birthday today?
It is my birthday
today. Yeah, it's your birthday.
So I could sing my name in
the Happy birthday, Dr. Buckles.
Thank you very much.
My friend Alice's birthday.
Alice, I'll sing Alice.
Is Alice in the room?
She's listening at home.
Is she? Happy birthday, Alice.
I'll do this for Alice, okay? It would be a little bit self-regarding, I think, to do it to myself. Here we go. This is Happy Birthday Time. Alice.
I bought you a gift to celebrate the fact you're still alive.
Hooray!
You came out of a woman, or possibly a tube, and ever since that day you have survived.
Well done!
And now it's birthday time, happy present time. We got some cake and wine and cake and food. It's birthday day, that wonderful time. You should eat the cake, if not it's rude. Today's the day, you will be happy all day, because we come to celebrate the day with you. We're singing to you, and we're looking at you, and now you should be smiling, it's a happy day. It's a birthday time, that joyful date, the same thing that you busted out the womb. Many years have passed since that painful day. Who can tell how many more you'll get through? Birthday time, birthday cards. I bought a card and wrote your name within. I gave you the card, and now birthday cards. I bought a card and wrote your name within. I gave you the card, and now it's yours. And later you will put it in the bin.
That's a good question.
It would be, don't you think it'd be good if you know,
forever.
If people had birthdays they could tell us about them, we could play that every single time someone told us they had a birthday. I'm doing a gig tonight at the 100 Club, and I could sing that to myself if things go badly. Don't you reckon?
What, and that would make it better?
Well, that's your, like, get-out strategy.
No, if I had nothing left to lose,
I can rescue any gig by singing this song.
I could just start singing that to myself. I'm emceeing, right? I've never emceed as myself before.
His gig was awful, but then he sang this amazing song, and the whole thing turned round. People were punching the air.
I could do that. It's a really packed house. It's all sold out. Stuart Lee's on the bill.
Wow.
And David Cross and Rich Fulcher from The Boosh. It's
wow.
All, like, I'm afraid you can't go, folks, because it is totally sold out. But it's a big gig. You know, I'm nervous about emceeing it. So I'm going to sing Happy Birthday Time to myself when I come out on stage. Anyway, it's time now to wash the taste of that mess out of your ears. And here's a trail for Glastonbury.
Six Music's Glastonbury ticket giveaway.
Kings of Leon.
Jay-Z.
The Verve.
The Enemy.
Duffy.
Massive Attack.
Dizzy Rascal.
Amy Winehouse.
Vampire.
That's Ghost Town by The Specials, of course, with all the long sort of horn bit in the middle there. Do you like things to be kept short and sweet, Joe, or do you like things to be grotesquely extended?
Grotesquely extended. It's just the way you said it.
Oh. This is Adam and Joe here on BBC Six Music. It's time now for the news.
On digital radio and online, BBC Six Music.
Rescue divers recover Tory chairman.
That's Doves with There Goes the Fear. There Goes the Fear!
The Fear seems to be playing cowbells and having a sort of a Caribbean party.
A wicked kind of salsa party the Fear's having.
It's nice, isn't it, that the Fear's generally cheered up lately.
Well, the Fear, you know, wakes up like everyone else, sees that it's a lovely day and thinks...
Salsa party! What is that sound? You know that sound?
It's... I don't know what they look like.
How do they make it?
I know.
What does it look like, Jude?
It's, it looks like almost like a tin can.
Put your sweater back on.
With a membrane on it and a piece of string, and when you pull it through, it goes...
Oh!
That's the sound of fun.
A tin can with a diaphragm stuck on the end.
Frankly.
Is what it is. That's a fun thing for mums to make.
It's Adam and Joe on BBC Six Music. It's Saturday morning. Happy Saturday morning, listeners. Now it's time for a visit to the movies.
Mm.
We are big fans, Adam and I, of bad British accents in films.
Yeah, absolutely.
We kind of vaguely collect them. There's nothing better than an American actor attempting to do a British accent, And the more wrong they get it, the better it is.
And one should say that it's rare for American actors to really do a bad job. It's more common, I would say, is this right or am I insane? Is it more common for a British actor to do a manglerized American accent than the other way around?
I'd say the other way around.
You reckon?
Yeah.
I'm thinking of Ray Winston in The Departed. He does a terrible American accent there.
I'd say there's more American actors pretending to do British ones that are bad. It's mostly the men, weirdly. Yeah. Women seem to do it quite well.
Well, the king is Don Cheadle, of course, in the Ocean's 11.
Absolutely. Films. But there's a new contender to the crown because during our holiday I saw a film called National Treasure 2.
Oh, it's one of the worst films ever made, apparently.
Have you seen it?
No, I've heard about
it. It's worth watching. It's very odd. But it's about a treasure hunter. I forget what his name is, played by Nicolas Cage. Mm. Who's got sort of, he's sort of stolen Tom Hanks's hair from the Da Vinci Code.
Yeah.
He's got weird sideburnless hairpiece hair.
Yeah.
I think it's a hairpiece anyway, isn't it, with Kate?
He's got sort of a frizzy mullet going on there.
Anyway, during this story of this stupid film, it's a treasure hunting film, mm-hmm. they've got to find some stupid relic I can't quite remember.
Is it a golden skull?
No.
Oh.
The thing they've got to find, it's something to do with the Declaration of Independence or something like that, but one of the stages of the adventure they go on involves breaking into Buckingham Palace.
Yes.
Where the Queen's desk, you know, that's a very famous thing, the Queen's desk, isn't it?
That's,
everyone chats about the Queen's desk.
It's legendary. Have you seen the Queen? We went to London last year and we saw the Queen's desk.
The Queen's desk, if you open the drawers a particular distance, like a kind of combination lock, a mysterious panel pops open.
And Prince Philip pops out.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Anyway, so there's a whole sequence where Nicolas Cage and his team of adventurers go to Buckingham Palace and attempt to break into the palace. So it's all Mission Impossible style, and they're getting ready to get in there. They've gone on one of those tours, and they're going to slip in, where they're not allowed, into the Queen's office.
Like Michael Fagan. Do you remember him?
Yes.
Yes.
The man who turned up in the Queen's bedroom.
With no clothes on.
So at the beginning of this exciting raid, one of the characters says one of those gung-ho phrases to kick things off. You know, he's broken into a toilet, he's got his laptop out, all his technology out, and he's going to say a phrase to kick the whole operation off that's very British.
Yeah.
He's an American character. And so this is what he says.
Okay, it's tea time, chaps.
Okay.
I would have gone for, it's time to play some croquet on the lawn.
That's like if we made a film about a group of British people breaking into the White House or the Oval Office or something, if we started it off with a guy going, okay, it's time to have our cheeseburger. Have a nice day.
Why are they from the West Country?
Yes, they're trying to do American accents. That was the idea. Anyway, so the attack on the Queen's office continues. And at one stage, Nicolas Cage has to sort of cause a distraction. He's with his bickering girlfriend, and they've got to cause some kind of distraction for the security guards. So he decides to pretend to be a drunk Englishman.
Nice.
Having a fight with his girlfriend. And he gets in a sort of argument with the security guards, and this is when the English accent comes in.
Excellent.
Here's part one of how he defends himself from the security guards.
Jack, you and your missus take it out.
Oh, now look what you've done. You've got the little Barbies down on us.
Been drinking, have we?
Just a nip. Just pop down to the pub for a pint. Bit of all right. Going to arrest the man for that. Going to detain a blighter for enjoying his whiskey.
That's very British, isn't
he's
it?
He's going for laughs, though, isn't he?
I don't know. Well, Cage, he's a genius, really.
Yeah.
One can't tell what he's doing. I think you may be right, and there's further evidence in the next clip. That doesn't work. The security guards are still manhandling him.
Going to detain a blighter for drinking his whiskey!
So he decides to sing a classic British song. A song that every British man knows inside and out. It's called I've Got a Lovely Bunch of Coconuts. But he sings it in quite an eccentric way. Here it is.
It's all right, that's enough, sir.
Beggars and mash, sir. Bottles of sweet. Smoke your pie, sir. Haggis! That's it. Dismount the banister. I've got a lovely bunch of coconuts. Here they are, standing in a row. Small ones, big ones. Some as big as your head! Big as your head!
That sounds good, though. I think that sounds funny.
You've got to remember that this is sort of out of tone with anything else in the film.
Yeah.
Nothing else really has the same feel or style. It's pretty insane. And then one other little bit I wanted to play you was kind of on a different topic, but they get deep enough into Buckingham Palace and they pretend to be flower arrangers mm-hmm. in order to sneak in there.
Yeah.
So they walk through a sort of cordoned-off official area, carrying a big vase of flowers. And they have to make up some flower-related dialogue while
a kind of security guard walks past to convince the security guard that they are flower experts. You have to listen quite carefully to this clip, but this is Cage's attempt at being knowledgeable about flowers. It's kind of mumbled, so listen carefully.
Oh, the flowers. Good.
He says, oh, flowers, petals, stamens, good.
Let's play that one more time.
Oh, the flowers. Stamen.
Oh, they're flowers, petals, stamen, good.
He's playing it for laughs. That sounds good, man. You've sold the film to me. I'm going to see it now. That sounds
it's
like
weird. The tone's all over the place, because that stuff's very broad. But later, when they get to doing actual kind of adventuring, it's sort of played more realistically than Indiana Jones and the Crystal Skull.
Uh-huh.
It's very odd, very all over the place.
He is a genius, though, Cage.
Yeah, he's not picking his projects so well, but they're very profitable, aren't they, those National Treasure films?
Yes, exactly. Yeah. They're for little kiddies. Little,
are they?
Tiny kiddies who've had their brains removed.
Really?
Yeah.
There are a lot of them around these days.
There are a lot. It's a big, burgeoning market.
Just to take the brain entirely out.
Yeah.
It just saves a lot of...
It's like an operation you can have. It's a bit like a circumcision.
Right.
You know, if you want to avoid problems with a particular part of your body later in life, you just get rid of it. And same with the brain. You just pop it out. And it's all. And
they leave some bits in there, don't they?
Little bits, yeah, just to cover motor functions, things like that. Everything else that might cause problems, just pop it out.
Mm.
And that's what the National Treasure films are.
Aimed at.
Basically catering.
Well, I recommend that. And that goes into my top five British accents ever.
That's a peach. Music time now, ladies and gentlemen. Here are We Are Scientists with a song about chiclet. So listen carefully. Well, there was nothing about chiclet in that song, really, at all. I was expecting a kind of frothy story about a girl with some flatmates and some sexy guys who come round, and one of them is almost about to get married to one of the girls in the flat, but he can't commit, and it's so annoying. And then he has an affair and something like that. But no, there was nothing like that in there. It's a total rip-off. We Are Scientists. You know, if you're not going to... Just call it something else if you're not going to have any stuff about chiclet. Help me, Jones.
Sorry, otherwise I went to the lavatoire.
How was that?
That was amazing.
Physical release?
Yeah. Yeah. Mopping aisle six. So I wasn't really listening. But that doesn't surprise me. These popular music artists, they don't care about anything.
They don't,
they're encouraging the kids not to care about anything.
Yeah.
And it disgusts me. I think Boris Johnson should release every song in the charts.
Absolutely.
He should sing them all. Exactly. This is Adam and Joe on BBC Six Music. Now we've got a very special announcement, listeners. Is that what we're doing now?
Mm-hmm.
We've got, and this is genuinely incredible because it's impossible to launch a competition on the BBC since all the scandals recently. They've really cracked down in a very positive way that Adam and I agree with.
In a brilliant way.
Yeah, so this whole thing has had to be put through sort of layers and layers of red tape and stuff, but we've managed to get permission to do a competition. And it's a competition to make a video for some Song Wars songs. Isn't that right, Adam?
Exactly right. And what we want you to do is to pick one of two songs that we are offering to you from the Song Wars canon. And these are early Song Wars efforts. In fact,
well, rumour has it that some Song Wars songs might be coming out in album form.
Right.
On a digital release, possibly on the Apple-based file-sharing network.
And these are two of the songs, one of which is Joe's Meatballs song. This was a song about, it was inspired by the instructions on an IKEA frozen meatballs packet. And my one is Jane's Brain, which I think was the first thing I ever did for Song Wars.
They're early offerings.
Yeah.
Because they're short and they're fairly simple.
Exactly. We went for the shortness, really, because we don't want to, like, ruin your lives by asking you to work all the rest of your time on 2.5-minute efforts. So these are short ones, 30 seconds, 50 seconds, and you can just make a quick video. What we really want you to do is just make something creative, imaginative, and send it in to us here at Six Music. And I'm reading from the blurb here. It says, technical skills aren't an issue. You can use a computer, webcam, video camera, mobile phone, anything you want.
It doesn't have to be amazingly glossy. Yeah. We're not looking for technical sophistication, even though that will impress us. But if you do something lo-fi but really inventive, that's just as likely to impress us.
And
even if you've got a funny face.
And why would people be doing this, Joe? What do they stand to get?
Well, first of all, we should tell them that this competition is being judged by Adam Buxton and me, Joe Cornish, and our friend Garth Jennings, who made Son of Rambo and Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
Well, more importantly, Garth made many of the world's greatest pop videos.
Absolutely, so he's a big pop video expert. We'll be judging, and the winner... What's the prize? I think they get to come into the show.
It says here.
And sit in on the show. Is that it?
It says that the winning creator will be given a special behind-the-scenes tour of the show.
No.
So what will they see?
Desks.
Some desks.
Yeah. And desks piled with CDs.
They will be allowed to use the toilet.
The very same toilet which I just used, remember?
So that's an exciting prize. You can come and sit in on the show. And would they actually sit in the studio? Oh, they could go wherever they wanted.
They can touch us.
They would have an access all areas pass here at Six Music for one morning.
Yeah, and we'll give them permission to touch us in certain areas.
You can sit in the hub where all the live sessions are recorded and stuff. You can wander around there. You can touch the big wooden Six Music logo there. You can play with Jude's headphones. You can do anything you want, pretty much, if you are the winner of our video competition.
There's no money or anything material to give them. No, it's just the trip to the studio.
No,
we showcase their video.
And we showcase their video on the website.
On the website.
Do we pay for their travel to the studio? Yes. All expenses paid. Trip to London.
So the details of this competition are on the Six Music website, I would imagine. Is that right, Jude? Yeah, exactly. So find out more there. But we'd really like you to take part, obviously. Otherwise, we'll look like kind of losers who've launched a competition that no one wants to take part in. And that's one of the most humiliating things that can happen to someone in the modern world.
It's bound to happen. The closing date for the competition is noon on the 5th of July, 2008. And we hereby swear to watch every single video that comes in. Because there'll probably only be... Four.
Yeah, exactly. No, that's true. We have to. Big British Castle rules.
Yes, this is a proper competition.
If it turned out that someone had sent in a video that we hadn't watched, the whole castle would shut down.
Yeah.
And we'd be responsible. So it's a big responsibility we have, and we're going to take it very, very seriously.
So there we go. Visit the Adam and Joe website on the Six Music website. Check out the proper rules and have a listen to the songs. We might play you a little clip of them now. Can we have a little bit of Jane's Brain? You've got two songs to choose from, listeners, to make your video to. This is Adam's, one of Adam's early works. It's about what happens inside the brain of a lady, is that right?
Exactly, a lady's brain.
It's called Jane's Brain. Have a listen.
Oh, yeah, her name was Jane. She had a brain and it lived in her head. She'd use her brain to think of things that she didn't have. She'd think of cars and she'd think of fancy dresses and she'd think of big houses and she'd think of cars. She liked cars very much indeed. If she had one, she would drive around and go shopping. She used the car to put her shopping inside, and then she'd drive back to her house and pack her shopping and she'd eat it.
That's crying out to have a video made for it.
Absolutely. That
imagine
would be
the
easy.
Possibilities.
Easy. No problem, man. It's short and sweet. Let's have a quick listen to Joe's Meatballs song.
I should remind you that this song is based on the instructions for cooking IKEA meatballs.
Mm.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Place the meatballs in a meatball dish and heat at 225 degrees centigrade for about 15 minutes in a microwave at 700 watts. Place the meatballs in a bowl without a lid and heat at full power for 4 to 5 minutes. Stir after half the time. I said, stir the meatballs after half the time. Come on. Place the meatballs, heat the meatballs,
so
stir the meatballs,
son, and Jane's Brain.
Come on, meatballs.
Choose either one of those songs. You can do a whole Lady's Brain-based video or a cooking-based video. And upload them to the website, and you could win that extraordinary prize.
That is an extraordinary.
Are we allowed to just bring some stuff in to give this person, sort of out of the castle when we're outside?
Yeah, if it's a personal exchange, one-on-one, we can do.
We could put together some kind of goodie bag.
Ooh,
it seems to me you need extra motivation.
Yeah.
It's a good, though, if you live outside of London, it would be a good free day trip. You'd get to come to the studio, then you could go shopping. We're right near Oxford Circus.
Is there any kind of vetting procedure that we can do on these people so we can stop, like, random nutcases coming in? No?
It's purely on merit.
It's purely on merit.
The best video.
That can't be right, can it?
What if
a complete nut bar makes the best video?
It's bound to be a complete nut bar.
Oh, no. Is this a good idea?
It's a very good idea. Visit the Adam and Joe website, BBC Six Music, online to see the full terms and conditions and all that sort of business. And please make a video. We can't wait to see what you come up with.
So there you go. Now it's music time. And Joe, you've chosen this track.
Yeah, this is a hippity-hop track. This is from an album that came out in 1990. It's Deleted by a guy called K Solo. This is from the days when hip-hoppers used to try and get on the radio by not swearing.
Mm.
Rather than swearing as much as they can and being banned and getting attention. So instead of saying nasty words, he just says, "What the..." at one stage in the song. It's a brilliant rap. It's by a guy called K Solo. He was part of EPMD. Do you know who they are, Adam?
I remember EPMD.
Yeah, or at least it was produced by EPMD. This is really good. And Eminem kind of nicked this for his song. You'll recognise the hook. This is called "Will the Real Solo Stand Up."
Will the real solo please stand up?
My style's aggressive like...
My style's aggressive like a pit bull terrier. The harder it sounds on wax, the more the merrier. Maestro, release this beat for me. See, when I rhyme, I rig my pits and get paid easily.
What does that mean?
I don't know.
Rig my pits? Something to do with his armpits?
18 years ago that record was, I still don't know what he's saying.
I'm gonna rig my pits.
Some gather round, listen to the flow, so I can prove I'm the true solo. MCs grab my and bit it bold and... Bit it that bold. I don't know what that means. Put it behind their name and ate it up like ravioli. Oh, no, he's saying they bit it bold and... MCs grabbed my name and bit it bold and put it behind their name and ate it up like ravioli.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, I've got that bit. Good. It's taken me 18 years to work out that bit. Rig my pits.
Rig my pits.
I don't know, I have to keep thinking about that. That was K Solo with "Will the Real Solo Stand Up."
And, it is similar to Slim Shady, though, isn't it? Does he acknowledge the debt, Eminem?
I don't know, I'm not a big Eminem expert.
Right.
But I much prefer that record.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Mm. Now, I don't know about you listeners, but I was watching the MTV Film Awards in the week. Hard to miss. I think they showed them pretty much every single night, didn't they?
Yeah.
And they're always quite entertaining, aren't they, the Film Awards, don't you reckon?
Yes, absolutely. One of the most entertaining award ceremonies there is, which isn't difficult.
Because they have a huge pile-up of famous names there presenting things and hosting, and it was hosted by...
Mike Myers.
Mike Myers.
And he did some really pretty funny comedy skits.
Yeah. And also they got Ben Stiller to do a funny skit as well. Did you see that one?
I did, yeah.
That was pretty good.
Yeah, no, Mike Myers' things were great.
Yeah, it was really funny.
What did you make of the Ben Stiller one?
Well, I liked it.
Yeah, you sound like you got a little reservation in there.
I've got some Ben Stiller opinions, but I don't know whether they're suitable for broadcast.
apparently
he's quite a strange guy. Apparently he's one of these kind of comedy scientists.
Yeah.
Is a tiny bit humorless about... I'm not saying this is a bad thing, but for instance, if you listen to the commentary on Zoolander, which is a brilliant film, it's like listening to a sort of PhD comedy student.
There you go.
Analysing the exact details of his craft, which is fantastic, of course, but it's sometimes a bit surprising.
I think he's one of those people a little bit like Gervais, possibly, who plays a version of himself a lot on screen. And pretty much everything you need to know about him, you can just see from the characters he plays. He sort of takes one very tiny step to the left of himself. And so he's quite a sort of intense,
right,
hung-up guy, I think.
It was funny, though. His sketch was funny.
It was very funny. But did you catch Coldplay? They were playing on
there. I did, yes.
And what was the song from Viva La Vida that they played? Is it called Yes? Is that the single?
Violet Hill.
There you go. And it was wicked. They played Blinder. But they're all wearing costumes.
Mm.
And is this something they always do, Coldplay? Do they always promote a new album by wearing a special look?
Well, specifically, they were wearing military uniforms. And the cover of Vida La Vida is some kind of French Revolution imagery. I'm not sure who the artist is. I'm sure listeners out there will know. It's a very stirring bit of oil painting with a lady raising the tricolore flag and a man with a blunderbuss. And a naked dead person on the bottom left. But it's all sort of glamorous and beautiful, and they were wearing similar uniforms.
I was quite that was the thing I found the most impressive about the performance.
The uniforms.
I sat there thinking, oh, I'd like a jacket like that.
Right. Mm. Because they all had sort of bits of coloured material tied round the left arm or whatever.
Well, he's a big fan of that.
He loves tying things to
himself. Rags, tying rags and rubber bands and stuff.
But it was a strange look because it wasn't immediate. I mean, it wasn't entirely militaristic, like they weren't proper uniforms.
It was revolutionary, Adam.
Right. But it looked a bit like,
they're not in an army, they're in a people's army.
Yeah. But the look to me was sort of military business carnival wear.
What does that mean?
Well, exactly. But it looked as if they'd just got some suit jackets.
A military business, so someone who works in the arms trade,
yeah,
in a suit, going to some kind of carnival.
Exactly.
And like a party at the end of the arms trade, where
that's
they have
right.
a big party at the end of the fair.
Yeah.
We've sold a lot of weapons today. We're going to go to a carnival later on. We've tied some funny kind of coloured things to our arms to have some fun at the carnival.
I don't know where these people are from. But that's what they look like to me, you know? And I was just wondering, like, how does... I wonder if every member of Coldplay is behind that kind of costume look. Do you reckon?
Well, I don't know. I think the drummer looks a bit annoyed at the whole
surely,
thing.
Surely. Who's the really tall guy? Is that the drummer? I think... surely he can't be into it. One of them has got to be groaning when Chris Martin comes in and goes, OK, guys, for the new album, we're all going to... This is what we're going to look like. Debbie, could you wheel in the suit, please? Yeah. And, guys, very important, I want you to remember to keep the coloured bits tied to your arms at all time. Johnny, last time I noticed that one of your coloured bits slipped off and you didn't tie it back again. Can you make sure that doesn't happen for Viva La Vida? Thanks very much. Because we're all on board, yeah? We're going to the next level. We're going to be the biggest band. I mean, we got biggest band in the world status within our reach, guys, okay? So we can just mess it up now and not tie the coloured things to our arms, or we can all be a unit and really go for it.
You're a big Eno fan, though, aren't you, Adam Buxton?
Absolutely.
We're both fans of Eno. Are you going to buy that Coldplay album because of Eno?
Well,
see
maybe...
what magic he's done on it?
Woven. I might do. Yeah, I'm always interested to see what he's up to. And, you know, I like a little slice of Coldplay. Delicious little cold play slice. I'm into it. But no, I'm just curious to see. And I'd like to see if they stick with the look as well. I'd be very angry if they veer from the
costume. It's a revolution, man. Things are going to change.
Good.
That Coldplay album's going to change a lot of things in the world.
Absolutely.
Stand by for major changes. Here's a trail.
BBC Six Music.
Sunday evenings on Six Music. From 5, Stuart McConey's Freak Zone.
That's a practice duo from Belgium.
Jazz prog crossover. Where'd you stand?
It's not everyone's cup of tea, but I thought it was alright.
That's 8, the listeners.
Text the nation.
What if I don't want to?
Text the nation.
But I'm using email. Is that a problem?
It doesn't matter. Text.
This is Adam and Joe on BBC Six Music. It's time for Text the Nation. Now listen carefully because this is complicated. This is the part of the show where we present you with a kind of a question and you have to text in your ideas for answers. So you take your mobile phone and use the text function, write a verbal message and send it to 64046. And then we get them here in the studio. They come on a screen.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens next?
Oh man, I have no idea. What?
I think we read them out.
Oh,
right.
How?
It's going to be tricky, but we'll try and struggle through. Text the Nation this week is on the subject of shops that suddenly change their names for no apparent reason.
Groovy rebranding.
Yeah. We discovered during our holiday period that the record chain formerly known as Virgin, and we should stress there are many different outlets out there where you can purchase records, but the Virgin chain have recently turned into Zavvi.
Yeah.
Do you know how to spell Zavvi, Adam?
Z-A-V-V-I.
Z-A-V-V-I, correct.
With a little asterisk.
Now, this happened very suddenly. We've discussed it already, I think. It took everybody by surprise, and they haven't really explained the root of the name, or at least I didn't think they had, until someone last week told me that Zavvi isn't the name of the man who owns it. I thought it might be some mysterious foreign gentleman.
Or an acronym, maybe.
Yeah, but no, Zavvi is apparently, and forgive us if we've got this wrong, this is merely hearsay, is a contemporary way to say the word savvy.
Mm-hmm.
It's a kind of groovy pronunciation and spelling of the word savvy.
I'm really zavvy about music. I'll shop at Zavvi.
So the logic is already insane.
Yeah.
But if you take that logic and extrapolate it to other shops, we were thinking about what other shops would become. We thought that PC World might suddenly overnight change into Philane.
What's that?
I don't know. Philane. Philane. Or, I thought what would be better is because Zavi... It's just confusing. Why would it be? Why would Virgin be Zavi?
Yeah.
But I suppose you have to stick to the logic that savvy is something that you might be about music, so maybe the new word has to have something to do with the actual thing they're selling.
Surely, yeah.
Even though savviness could be applied to any merchandise, couldn't it?
Because I was thinking about, for boots, right?
Mm.
You could have Wellfit.
That's good. I have one for boots. Lurgis.
Lurgis?
Yeah.
That's no good.
As in got the lurgy.
Yeah, but you don't want the name, you don't want it to sound like a disease.
No, but it doesn't really, it's Lurgis.
Right.
You don't make the connection. I've got to credit my friend, our friend Zach, for thinking up most of these. We thought PC World, if Philane's no good for you, it could be called Pewters.
Pewters is really good.
Pewters is good?
Yeah. Hey, how about, and you spell it P-O-O-T-E-R-S.
Like Pooters?
Yeah.
I like that. Pooters.
Pooters would
should
be
we go Pooters? Buy a pooter.
How about this for a bank?
Yeah.
Dulix.
What's that got to do with money?
Thanks, Von Dulix.
Oh, nice. Dulix.
Dulix.
How about this?
With an X.
I like it. Dulix. How about this for Pret-a-Manger?
Yeah.
The popular lunching chain. Okay, Zach's first suggestion was Pure Venom. It changed its name to Pure Venom. I don't know where he got that from.
Spelt P-U-R.
But then we thought, well, if it has to do something to do with what they're selling, yeah. Maybe it's called Sandwich. S-A-M-M-I-C-H.
That's good. You know, there's a sandwich brand called Fugo, which
really?
Always makes me cringe whenever I see it, because it's like food on the go.
Right, Fugo.
F-double-O.
You see, that's too... If someone were to text that in for Text the Nation this week, I would say that was too literal.
Right, right.
It's got to be slightly weirder than that.
Fugo.
I'm not quite sure what the criteria we're going to apply to these entries is.
Well, it's got to be...
It's going to be very abstract.
Exactly.
What possible criteria did they apply to Zavi? We also thought that Anne Summers might be renamed Flej.
How are you spelling that? F-L-E-J?
F-L-E-H-J. Or alternatively, if that doesn't float in the market, Sluts with a Z. S-L-U-T-Z.
That's good. So text us your suggestions right now for rebranding. We need the chain you're rebranding.
Yeah, the name of the store and your new name for it,
and
which you're going to foist on the public.
And perhaps a little explanatory logic if you have the time.
64046 is the text number. We look forward to receiving them.
It's Morrissey time. This is Morrissey. Hello.
That's how he talks.
Yes. This is my new single? Hello, I'm Morrissey. This is my new single. It's All You Need Is Me. Hope you like it.
That's Morrissey with All You Need Is Me. Hey, this is Adam and Joe here on BBC Six Music, and it's still a lovely day. It's looking good. Forecast, anyone? Anyone got a forecast?
Raining. In London, raining.
Oh, shut up, will you? Seriously, is it going to rain again?
Yeah.
I don't believe it.
Remember my Glastonbury pledge?
Yeah, what if it rains, there's no more festivals?
No, I'm renouncing all religion.
Oh, that's right, you're giving up.
If it rains at Glastonbury... I'm taking it as proof that there is no deity.
There you go.
Yeah.
That's exciting. Because it's just cruel. We're allowed to tell people that we're at Glastonbury, right? We're going to be doing our show live from Glastonbury this year. That's in about 3 weeks' time. I should say, take this opportunity, listeners, to apologise for our rather erratic schedule over the coming weeks. We're sort of coming and going a little bit. For example, next weekend we're going to be away, but then we're going to be back. And it's just a lot of stuff happening over the summer for us, but we are being ably depped by all kinds of geniuses. Thank you so much to John Richardson for looking after our show while we were away, and also to Alan Carr. He did a great job as well, and a combination thereof will be with you while we're away, but we'll tell you about that in coming weeks.
But we're excited about coming live from Glastonbury.
Yeah, it's going to be fantastic. We're going to go up there on the Thursday night, and then we're going to spend all of Friday wandering around the site talking to people. So if you're going to be at Glastonbury,
I'm going to spend most of Friday sleeping with fans.
Are you?
Mm.
Excellent. What, just keeping yourself cool there? Or you mean humans?
Yeah, no, I don't think there are any fans.
Right.
And I certainly wouldn't do that.
So yeah, if you're at Glastonbury, look out for us. We'll be wandering around looking confused with the microphone.
I might set up a Dr. Sexy tent.
That's a good idea.
Do you think a kind of next to the, what do they call the medical people there?
Doctors?
The healers. Yeah, next to the,
oh,
healers.
The healers.
I'll do a particular type of healing.
Sexy healing, that's a good idea. I could be your assistant, Dr. Buckles.
Yes.
I might dress as Dr. Buckles tonight for my gig at the 100 Club.
What does Dr. Buckles wear?
I brought it along with me. I'll show you. I'm not sure if this is a good idea, but I pulled it out of the wardrobe this morning.
He's got medical green ER scrubs. Look at that.
I went to
the ER.
This is
logo
like,
on the pocket.
When I was on my honeymoon in 2001, when we were in LA, I went into the shop and they had these scrubs from ER, and I love ER. So I bought that because I thought, not only do I love ER, but that's a cool top. I'm going to wear that, seriously.
Are you going to do a medical routine?
No.
Just wear it?
Just wear it.
What do you think?
Is that a bad idea?
It's like a child turning up dressed as a policeman at school.
But this is all
just because it's fun.
This is all I've got. I've got nothing.
In the world.
I've got nothing else. No, for emceeing tonight. Got nothing
else. That'll do it. People pay good money to see an average-looking man in a green short sleeve shirt.
That's sort of hairy.
They'll really feel they've got their money's worth.
Yeah, but it says property of ER on it, and I was thinking I would call myself Dr. Buckles, and then it would all tie in.
Thank God I'm not coming.
It's going to be a great gig, folks. Don't worry if you are coming.
Let's have some music now. In a second, we're going to get to some of your texts for Text the Nation. Don't forget the Text the Nation premise this week is new names for shops. In the way that the Virgin chain suddenly turned into Zavvi, can you think of any bizarre names that you would change existing stores into?
So yes, keep your texts coming in. It's time now for a free play. This is a track from the new Sparks album. Did you happen to catch Sparks on the Culture Show in the week?
I missed it.
They were doing a great job there, and they're right in the middle still, aren't they? Are they still playing all their albums in succession? I think there's still a few more nights to go there. Excuse me, a little bit of a cough there for you coughing fans. But this is a track from, what's the name of the album? Exotic Creatures of the Deep. And it's called Photoshop. Now, how do you feel about it when bands write very on-the-nose songs about modern bits of technology? I mean, Photoshop's been around for years, of course, but still, it's a very modern...
I'm excited. Is it actually about Photoshop, the song?
Well, it's using Photoshop as a metaphor.
Are we going to have another chiclet issue?
No, we're not. They're much more specific about it.
Okay,
They stick to the theme.
I'll give you my opinion.
But I hope you enjoyed this. This is Sparks.
Wow. It hasn't finished yet.
It's quite a journey, isn't it?
That's amazing. That's like some kind of West End musical.
Yes.
Tim Burton should do a film of that.
Well, they're very much like that, aren't they, the Mayall brothers? That was Sparks with Photoshop. This is Adam and Joe here on BBC Six Music. It's almost time for the news at 10:30, but before that we're going to slip in maybe a couple of tiny little bits of Text the Nation. We're asking you to send us ideas for possible rebranded shop names.
Yeah, we were talking about Virgin suddenly turning itself into Zavvi for no apparent reason. Simon in Birmingham kicks things off in very confident style by suggesting that WH Smith, the popular magazine vending chain, should just become Zines. Z-W-E-N-Z, Zines.
That's a very good idea.
Yeah, that's quite literal because, of course, it's the end of magazines.
Yeah.
You might have put an extra twist on that, Simon, just like Marco from London did, where he says Halfords would be rebranded as Crannock.
Why?
And themed after the dead painter currently exhibiting in the Royal Academy.
That's quite obscure.
I like it, though. That's the two sides of the coin. That one of them's too literal, the other one's too abstract. We'll keep us somewhere in between.
Yeah.
So think about that while... is it time now?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, while you listen to the latest news.
On digital radio and online, BBC Six Music.
Missing British divers safe, Tory party defence chairman and England pin hopes...
Get a grip on yourself, will you, please? That's
what?
The Stranglers.
Oh.
This is Adam and Joe here on BBC Six Music. We're right in the middle of Text the Nation.
Text the nation. Text the nation.
What if I don't want to?
Text the nation.
But I'm using email. Is that a problem?
It doesn't matter. Text.
And Text the Nation this week is all about rebranding popular shopping chains. We noticed, as everyone has, that the Virgin chain has turned into Zavvi, so we were asking for similar twisted rebranding exercises. And just to remind you, the logic behind Zavvi, apparently, and I don't know whether this is true, but I've heard, is that it's just a contemporary way of saying the word savvy.
Yeah.
So we're trying to apply that logic to other shops, or we're asking you to. Tom in Stockport has a suggestion. Adam, will you be the brand manager?
Yes.
I'm going to pitch these name changes. As brand manager, you have to tell me whether you would apply these changes.
Okay. My name's Dan Brand. My assistant is Katie Brand.
Russell Brand.
Russell Brand. Far away. Let's see
what we got. Okay, Greggs. You heard of Greggs?
Greggs, yeah. Sandwiches, that kind of thing. Pastries.
Yep. Tom in Stockport says, I want to rebrand Greggs as Copastiz. Copastiz. All lowercase. Due to their tendency to sell savoury meat products at a temperature no higher than lukewarm. So it's a shortening of cold pasties.
Oh.
Copastiz.
Copastiz.
What do you reckon on that? Yes?
Quickly
now, lots to get through. Yes!
Yeah,
okay, like Greggs is now officially being called Copastiz.
Copastiz.
Well done, Tom. Here's one from Holly in Bradford. She wants Weight Watchers to be rebranded Chuboff.
Chuboff.
I don't know about that one.
It's a bit derogatory, isn't it?
Is that from Holly?
Holly, yeah. No, I don't think that's good. She's got another one. She wants Specsavers to be rebranded Biffs. B-I-F-Z. Biffs. That's good. I like the unsayableness of it.
What's Biffs?
Like bifocals.
Oh.
Biffs. That's quite good because you'd have to talk about that. Wouldn't you? Specsavers has turned into Biffs. And all of a sudden everyone's talking about Specsavers.
Well, Specsavers, I mean, they're onto a winner with
exactly
the name Specsavers anyway.
But they've invested a lot of money in high-profile advertising campaigns.
Should have gone to Biffs.
It's something you won't be hearing. Sense. So that's a no there for Holly. Sorry, Holly.
Sorry about that.
Back to the whiteboard. An anonymous one just says McDonald's to Matty.
Matty. Where was?
Not even Mickey's,
wherefore?
It's Matty. Matty. It's good, it sounds a bit like Patty.
Yeah.
I think that's good. Have you seen McDonald's has changed its name to Matty?
Matty.
Brilliant.
Everyone, I mean, that is there again. Demented.
Okay, John in Croydon says Holland and Barrett, the popular health food chain, could be changed to Holistival.
Holistic, like holistic.
Festival.
What?
Holistival. That's good, isn't it?
No.
No, he's not going for that. Okay.
I mean, that's, you know, thanks for the text and everything.
Here's another idea for Greggs. The famous pastry shop, I won't tell you how he describes the taste of the pastries, Greggs could go upmarket and change their name to Pastiche.
Ooh.
You see? That's more sophisticated. And it works on several levels.
Yeah.
Perhaps slightly adjusting their colour scheme from the wee yellow they currently use from Robert in Huddersfield.
Pastiche is nice as well because it's like they're sort of imitations of pasties.
Yes, exactly.
You know, we're not sort of course suggesting that that's what it's like at Greggs.
No.
But yeah, I like that one. That's good.
Yep, that's going through. Lorna from Surrey, how about changing the body shop to Whiffies? Whiffies. Whiffies.
I like Whiffies, actually.
Just popping into Whiffies. I think it's too derogatory. It's too obviously mean smelly.
What about Whiffs, though? Just W-Y-F-Z.
I still think it's too on the nose.
Really?
Yeah.
Whiffs.
I think it needs to be passed through another confusoid process.
What about Wives?
That's more like
the plural of Whiffs.
Here's one from Sean Manningtree. Gap could become Chasm.
And again, crazy spelling you need. K-A-Z-M.
Yeah, he spelt it correctly.
Chasm.
I like that a lot. Police stations generally, says Justin in Walthamstow, should be rebranded Crimes. C-R-Y-M-Z.
That is a very good idea.
Having trouble with the law? Visit your local crime.
Get down to crime.
Call Crimes on 999. Discount on physical assault.
I had an idea for Burton's, the suit makers.
Yeah.
You could call them Freds.
Like threads.
Oh, but with an F.
Yes.
Freds. Oh, that's
Freds.
Good. Said by a modern contemporary person.
Yeah.
That's brilliant. Well done.
Thank you.
I approve of that one. Here's one from a couple more. We got time for a couple more?
Yeah.
Jason from West Yorkshire says Halfords should be changed to Motor Bitch.
What?
M-O-T-A-B-I-T-J. Motabitge.
Come on, that's good.
Motabitge.
Yeah, motabitge. You see, already we're having to
motabitge.
Think about it, and that's what people are after.
Is it?
Yeah, neurons are forming in our brains.
Yeah, but Zavi is a simple word to say, motabitge.
Yeah, but we've had to think even harder, therefore creating more new neural networks.
Let's have one more before Fleet Foxes.
Pizza Hut renamed, says David in Manchester, Stodgentop. Stodgentop?
That is good, man.
He's got a couple more in there, but we'll come back to them.
Is
this a free play? Yeah, this is a very unimaginative free play. It's our latest favourite album, the Fleet Foxes album. When we were on before a couple of weeks ago, I played Ragged Wood or whatever the one was. But here's another fantastic one off of that album. It's out this week, so you can go and buy it. This is Fleet Foxes with Quiet Houses.
In the house again. Once again, it's the people, the people, the people, people, the people, the people back again. Live on 6 Music BBC, y'all.
Yeah. Oh.
Very good. Well done, Dilated Peoples. That was excellent for a live session, wasn't it?
Yeah, I didn't even know it was live, but they're famous for, you know, playing that kind of music live. When I say that kind of music, I mean hibbity-hop.
Yeah. That was amazing. Well done, Dilated Peoples. I stand in awe.
Mm.
Are they still around?
Mm-hmm. Of course they are.
Yeah, good. Just checking. None of them have died.
It's like dilated pupils.
What?
That's right. Only instead of pupils, peoples.
Oh, I didn't even think
so,
of
you
that.
Know, yeah, what does that then mean? In what way could people become dilated? What is a dilated pupil?
Well, if it's wider. So if someone gets fat, they're a dilated person, aren't they?
Really?
Yeah.
Just getting wider.
Dilated pupils.
Are they a fat band?
Oh, I don't think so, no. They're all slim and good-looking, aren't they?
I don't know, probably.
I think they are, yeah.
What a stupid name, then.
That is a
they haven't thought it through.
They disgust me. And you know
rubbish.
What? That live session was awful.
It was awful.
I can still smell it.
Yes, we apologise for that, listeners.
It's a disgrace.
This is Adam and Joe on BBC Six Music. We were talking earlier about National Treasure 2.
Mm.
It's just a small point. It was written by The Wibblies.
The Wibblies?
The Wibblies. W-I-B-B-L-E-Y-S. The Wibblies. It sounds like a CBBC cartoon.
Yeah.
The Wibblies.
Are they related to the Wiggles, I wonder?
Possibly, but they've gone to Hollywood and write screenplays.
The Wiggles, I think, wrote Indiana Jones and the Crystal Skull.
The Wibblies. The Wiggles.
The Wiggles.
I'd like to see the Wibblies in a high-powered script meeting in Hollywood.
Yeah.
One of them's bright blue. He's got tiny little arms and hair that's red springs. Boing, boing. So, Wibblies, we need a new National Treasure film. We need it in 2 minutes. Can you do it?
Yes, I can. Wibbly, wibbly, wobble, wobble, wibbly, wibbly, wobble.
I like it. Green light. We're green lighting the next Wibblies project.
Cage will only do it if it's written by the Wibblies.
But you get the idea.
The end of that.
They should work with Tom Cruise, the Wibblies.
They really should. The problem with the Wibblies is they have trouble with punctuality.
Yeah.
Because their car, the wheels keep falling off their car. It's open top and one of the wheels is a hexagon, the other one's a square, one of them's a triangle, and one of them's a curvy line. It's to teach kids shapes, but it's not very practical in terms of getting to meetings.
In the movie business.
Yeah.
No, that is, and that's something they've got to think about, the Wibblies.
The Wibblies.
We've got more Textination thoughts for you. Are we going to play Walk on the Wild Side by Lou Reed? I mean, it is a classic song and everything, but it just seems like one of those songs that you can't really play anymore because it's so... Like, we wouldn't play Bohemian Rhapsody, would we?
We might do.
I mean, I
think it's just been played out.
Yeah.
How many plays do you think it takes to play out a classic record?
I mean, how many times is Walk on the Wild Side?
Billions? Are we into billions? Do you think there should be a cut-off point? All radio stations should keep a tally of how often they play a record.
And you'd have to...
And there's just a national law that after a certain number of plays, it gets thrown out.
Right,
how many plays would that be?
It would be like iTunes, and you could see exactly how many times it has been played all over the world. How many times... I would say...
Maybe this is the last play for this.
I would say...
six.
1 billion.
A billion.
So that's... What, is a billion 100 million or a million million?
It's a billion million.
A million million.
I'm never quite sure because, no, the thing is because Oh, I won't go down that avenue.
This is the last time this record's ever going to be played.
Yeah. What have you written down there, Jude?
We could play Bentley with a Mace instead.
Listen, I've got nothing against Walk on the Wild Side. It's a lovely song.
We've got to play it now. We've teased it. Here it is, Lou Reed with Walk on the Wild Side.
Thick.
It is the voice of the big British castle. It is the top of the hour. Ooh, that's wonderful. I got so bored with the last hour. I'm glad it's gone. Now here's the new one. It's exciting and it's new. How do you do?
I think I'm in love with the girl next door. It's driving me crazy.
Text,
what if I don't want to?
Textination.
But I'm using email. Is that a problem?
It doesn't matter. Text.
It's Textination time here on the Adam and Joe Radio Show on BBC Six Music. Have you got anything to say about the Mystery Jets before we move on to Textination?
I really enjoyed the Mystery Jets. Sorry for that a strange inhalation there.
It's all right.
It went really badly. But no, I liked the Mystery Jets song, and they're quite posh, aren't they, the Mystery Jets? I think.
Is that a good thing?
Well, it's just a thing, you know. There's a whole wave of sort of posh people doing things in the world. Some of them are good posh people, some
like
of them are evil. Well, exactly. You could say that we're part of that whole thing, couldn't you? I don't know if it's a good thing or bad thing.
I'd love to be part of a thing.
Well, you know, there's a... we were just talking in the break about this piece for the Sunday Times that's coming out. Is it the style section?
Mm.
They're doing a piece about us, and there's some photographs of us dressed strangely by Peru. And
we talked about it before.
And the journalist who was interviewing us was talking about class a great deal. And I think he's got some theories about a kind of new wave of posh people.
It's a worrying thing, isn't it, when you do an interview, listeners? You might have experienced this before, where you do an interview and you don't know the spin that the journalist is going to put on it.
Mm.
What's going to be the headline? It might just be idiot. Toffs. Or something like that.
So that's a well overdue headline for us, I would say.
Any headline is a good headline for us.
Yeah, no, it's nice to get the exposure. I love exposure.
But very 80s, that Mystery Jets single.
Yeah.
You could be forgiven that we're living in the 80s right now. Indiana Jones at the cinema.
That's right.
Mystery Jets on the radio. Beverly Hills Cop coming back.
No.
Yes.
When's that happening?
Brett Ratner's directing one.
I didn't get that
memo. It's gonna be a stinker.
Yeah.
The 80s all over again. But anyway, Textination time, and this week we're asking you to send in your ideas for rebranded names for popular shopping chains, like what the way Virgin turned into Zavvi. And Adam is being our brand manager today. He's going to decide whether these new branding ideas can go through or not.
Yeah.
Let's kick off with an anonymous text. Tesco becomes Bun Munch.
Well, I like that very much.
Now, Tesco sells more than buns, but Bun Munch, it captures the essence of it. Bun Munch, all lowercase.
Bun Munch.
Just going down to Bun Munch.
It's good, guy. One thing I would say, I mean, not to obsess about Greggs, but that might be a better one for Greggs.
For Greggs. Mm. Well, I think it's too on the nose for Greggs.
Well, Greggs are more involved with pastries, I would say.
Oh, really?
Tesco sell all kinds of different things.
Yeah, but that's what's good about it.
What, the buns and the munching?
Yep.
I like
Is that going through? It's going through. Well done, anonymous texter.
Tesco will be known as Bun Munch from
Bun
Monday.
Munch. Cheryl from Surrey says, hi, Argos could be called Loads of Things. All one word, Loads of Things.
That's
loads,
good.
No, Loads of Things.
Loads of Things, that's how
that
kids talk.
Like, what's his name, George Lamb, kind of an email. We'll forward that to him.
Loads of Things, I like it.
Here is... another correctional one from Des. You can't call PC World pooters. We were suggesting that earlier, as it's American slang for ladies' parts.
What?
I'm just making that comment. If you're an American listener, you might have been insulted by that word.
Pooters?
Yeah.
Is it really?
Apparently.
Never heard that before. Are you sure he's not making it up?
He says it sounds like a version of Hooters, where all the waitresses have massive genitalia.
That is completely wrong. Hooters is the American bar chain where the ladies have, they're well endowed in
I
the
know,
chest
but that's what
area.
He's saying. It sounds like a version of it.
Well, that's not genitalia, that's your breasts.
I don't have any breasts.
I'm talking about ladies.
I'm confused. It makes perfect sense to me, Des. Okay, here's another one from Sam in Sussex. A cinema could become Suppix, as in... Sapic, I don't know. Let's skip over that.
Do you read these before you read them out?
Not that one.
Stop it.
Okay, I had to skip over. I just like the ones that are completely abstract.
Were you just dancing around during Mystery Jets?
Adam and Joe, Starbucks could be called Cylons.
Cylons?
Yeah, after Battlestar Galactica.
Yeah, but what... Oh, I see Starbucks.
That is very tense. Yeah,
that was quite good. Cylons.
We got one from Andrew Collins. He suggested Quaffy, spelt with a Q or a K.
For what?
Q-F-Y.
For what store?
For Starbucks or for a coffee chain.
Quaffy.
Yeah.
That's good.
Quaffy.
A little bit on the nose, I'd say, Andrew Collins.
No, but I like... That's what it's all about. You've got to have the meaning in there.
You just
a little
like it because it's Andrew Collins.
No, but what's the... No, because it's on message. What was the one that you had for the very first one that you and Zach came up with?
Where's it gone?
For, like, Philons or something.
What was it? Philange.
Philange.
Yeah. But that's the point, you see. The point is, Virgin became Zavvy. And that's a corruption of the word savvy.
Yeah.
And that is not a word that one immediately associates with records and DVDs.
Okay, all right.
So there isn't... It must not be on the nose in my mind.
Well, in my mind...
As the brand manager, I disagree with you
strongly.
That's
true. You've got the power.
Absolutely.
Let me try and find a good one. No.
Would you like us to play some Dexy's Midnight Runners and then come back?
Through them.
Okay,
thanks.
Here's the Celtic Soul Brothers from Dexy's Midnight Runners.
Ladies and gentlemen... I give you the Celtic Soul Brothers and the Strong Devotion.
Thank you.
The brilliant Texas Midnight Runners with the Celtic Soul Brothers. I just said they were brilliant in case anyone didn't know. In case anyone thought they were rubbish.
Yeah.
Just a quick reminder.
Yeah, exactly. It's always good to be clear about these things.
So we had a little problem there during Text the Nation. There was some confusion. And so I swapped over the text reading duties to Adam Buxton, who usually just sits there like a big, lazy man in his big reclining chair.
Like a big hairy lump. Occasionally going, exactly, saying, or just giggling or snorting to myself.
Yeah.
So now the roles are reversed.
Change. I'm going to be the brand manager.
Joe's the brand manager. I'm doing the pitching on behalf of our clientele and our listeners.
And of course, just to remind you, this is new names for shopping chains, like what Virgin turned into Zavvy.
Andy in Oxford says, Pizza Express could become Dough! Exclamation mark.
Like it. Very Simpsons.
But that's good, though. I mean, you know, you can't hurt tapping into the Simpsons market.
Yeah, two on the nose for me, though.
Dough?
Yeah.
Genius.
Two on the nose.
Andy, I like that one, man. Thomas Cook says Jack in Bristol could become Vermooze. No, like V-E-R-M-O-O-Z, Vermooze.
Vermooze, like get out of here.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good.
That is a good one.
That's going. That's approved.
Kat and Nick in London say Argos. Argos is a popular one. Lots of people thinking of different names for Argos. They say Argos could become... Nuff stuff. You know? Because they got a lot of stuff.
I like that a lot.
That is good.
Approved.
And lots of F's in there, you know? Double F and then the double F of stuff. Very good. Here's a couple of suggestions from Jesse in Shrewsbury. Hello, A and J. KFC could be just rebranded as YUK. Also,
that's going through.
And she goes a step further, saying that Zavvy could now be rebranded.
Yeah, I like this one.
As Vargon.
I like the idea of changing it to Vargon. How long's it been Zavvy for? A couple of months? Too long. Quickly change it to Vargon.
Rebrand. Time for another rebrand.
Vargon. But they only rebrand the outside of the shop. They keep Zavvy on the price stickers.
Vargon. Welcome to Vargon. Did you find everything you're looking for?
That's a very good one. Thanks, Jesse. Alison in Newquay and Danny suggest Mother Care could become Mater Pater Tosh.
That's quite posh.
That is posh.
Mater Pater Tosh.
But Mother Care's kind of a posh shop.
It's long, but Mother Care's already a long name.
Mater Pater Tosh. I like that one. Maybe just branches in Kensington and stuff could rebrand for a different... Because maybe some people in Kensington would think, oh, Mother Care, I'm not going there. All sorts of mothers
down
go
market.
There. It's terribly down market. I'm going to go to Mater Pater Tosh instead
and buy the nappies there.
That's what they would say. Also, she suggests, where have we got here? Oh, I don't really understand this one. Monsoon, they suggest
soon monsters.
Monsoon is a, like, lady dress clothes in the shop, isn't it? Oh, maybe they're implying that people who shop there will soon be monsters.
Because of the way they look.
I don't really understand
I quite
that.
Like that one.
I don't understand. Soon monsters. Just the words soon and monsters.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that.
Better name for an album, maybe.
It's frightening. Doris from Droitwich. I've never heard of Droitwich. Is that a real place?
Yeah.
Excuse my ignorance. She suggests, again, renaming Argos to Blong.
Which is the opposite of bling.
That's good. Blong.
That's a very good idea.
Or lowercase.
Yeah.
We need some accents or some umlauts or something on some of these.
Yeah, there's no accents, unfortunately. Yes. It's a lot of Zs around, but Zs is good. Here's one more before we play another bit of music. Are we going to wrap this up, or is...
Well, let's play one more, and we'll take a view on that during the record.
Okay, here's one more. Adam in Brighton says the new name for Woolworths could be Shabbitat.
Hey, nice.
Shabbitat. Again, a little bit on the nose, maybe, but that's nice.
It sounds
a little bit like Shabba, which is a good name.
Another George Lamb suitable text.
Right. Shabbitat. Wicked.
That's brilliant. Keep those texts coming in, even though we may never read them.
We will read them. We might not read them out.
Yeah.
Is the thing. Right.
That's
now,
what I meant.
Here's a free play for you listeners. This is from the new Breeders album, which is great. It's just wonderful when a band that you love takes a long break, but then comes back with something really, really good. Do you know what I'm saying? And it's been a long time since... Title TK came out only about 4 years ago, didn't it? But then it was... anyway, they're not that prolific. But when they're good, they're very good. And this is one of the most lovely tracks from their new album, which is called Mountain Battles. And it reminds me of the Shirelles or a girl band, like one of those wonderful girl bands from the 60s. This is called Night of Joy. That was The Breeders with Night of Joy from their latest album, Mountain Battles, which I really recommend if you're on the fence about The Breeders. Get off and go and get the album, because it is wicked, yeah? This is Adam and Joe here on BBC Six Music. Should we wrap up Textonation? The problem is that we've still got a lot of good texts coming in for Textonation. Should we give it a break?
Well, we don't have to be definitive. We could read a couple more out.
No, we do have to be definitive. Do we have to be definitive?
No, then. Let's not wrap it up.
Right, okay, we'll leave it. Right, definitive.
But you could read some more out if you wanted.
You're ruining the definition. Okay, here's a couple more for you, folks. This is Textonation, and we're asking people to think of new ways that shops could be rebranded, Zavi style. Paddy in Leeds says Games Workshop could simply become Nerds.
With a Z.
With a Z. As a kind of call to arms for the clientele.
Well, that's obviously cleverly satirical, but it might put off customers who don't want to be labelled as nerds.
It's a little nerdist, isn't it?
Yeah. I think you want to be more oblique with that.
Yeah.
Like gnomes with a Z. Gnomes? Or something?
Yeah.
Or, I don't know.
Gonks.
Gonks. Yeah.
That would be good for Games Workshop. Let's see, here's another one. Kev from Sudbury says Kev. Oxfam could become the Ozone to capture the young audience.
I like it. There was a program called The Ozone, wasn't there?
Yes, with Jamie Theakston.
That's another good Textonation, you know. I'll explain later.
Okay.
He also... something.
Kev also says that Oxfam could also just be Wavity.
Like charity, but cooler.
Is that cool?
I know.
To mispronounce words by, like, losing the first couple of syllables and replacing them with a W.
But transforming charity to Wavity is very random.
I'm giving it to Wavity, man.
For Wavity, yeah.
For Wavity, what's your problem with
charity,
that?
Wavity. Thanks, though, Kev. And here's one more from... This is quite bizarre. This one is from Scott, who's in Burton-on-Trent. Marmite City, he says. I don't know what that means.
Sainsbury's... Well, known as Marmite City.
Is it?
Yeah, like New York's the Big Apple.
Is it really? No, you see, I fell for that. I'm such a thick git. Marmite City, I thought, everyone knows that it's called Marmite City except me.
It's made there.
It's made there.
The Marmite factory, I think.
What?
Is that true?
Yeah, I think that's
true. I don't understand.
Wow. They must have a lot of problem with cats and stray cats
and
dogs.
Smells.
I bet it smells.
Wow.
A lot of yeast in the air. Absolutely. That's
keep talking.
Nice. Sorry, I'm just thinking yeast in the air now. Scott says, Sainsbury's could become fod gathers.
I like that, like gathering food.
Yeah, like fod gathering food, but looking out for you while you do it. Godfather style.
What?
So you could pronounce it fod gathers.
Fod gathers.
Because they're gathering food.
That's good, because then you'd need one of those...
Like a godfather.
...accents over the A. Like, what's it called? Just the straight horizontal line? Ah, oh, you know what I mean?
Like a tilde or a...
An Uma. Is it called an Uma?
It's called an Oprah.
Is it called an Oprah? I thought it's called a Furtado.
Isn't it? It's an Imbruglia.
Oh, of course.
I think it's a south-facing Imbruglia.
South-facing.
It's Euro trail time.
In Euro 2008, I'm going to support Germany.
Czech Republic. The Dutch. Simply because they play fantastic football and play it on the ground.
Your little talk.
Oh dear.
Oops.
So they like it. They favour a little bit of random noise at the end of some of their tracks.
Lazy
furries. That was the international language of screaming. And this is Adam and Joe here on Six Music. We're going to remind you about our competition again.
Yeah, we've got a fantastic competition. If you were listening earlier, then this won't be news to you. But if you've just tuned in, it'll be possibly the most exciting news you've heard in the last 15 to 10 seconds.
Although if you're listening again, you will get so angry here that you'll want to go out and punch someone.
But that's okay.
Yeah.
Actually, it's not. We've got a competition to make a video. We've put two of our early Song Wars songs, Jane's Brain, a fantastic song by Adam about the inside of a lady's brain, mm-hmm. and Meatballs, the Meatballs song, which is a tune whose lyrics are IKEA's Meatballs cooking instructions. We've put both those songs on the BBC Six Music website, and we'd like you to choose one of them and make a video for it and upload it to the website, correct? And the amazing prize is to come down to London or come to the studio if you're already in London. Sit in on the show with us. We will do things to you that you will not believe.
There's a video of us describing this whole process that you can see on the Six Music website, and it's about 5 minutes. I haven't actually seen the finished thing. We rambled away a couple of weeks ago.
Is it any good?
Very funny.
Very funny.
Very funny.
Is it as funny as the thing of us for the culture show? Did you see the final thing they cut, the promo?
Yeah.
It's like two words that we say in the end. We sat there for about half an hour rambling away.
But go check out those songs, listen to them, then make a video. It doesn't have to be hugely technically accomplished. It doesn't matter if it is. But we're going for pure grit and determination and creativity, not, you know, high-tech specs.
So, top of your head, Joe, what would you do if you were doing this competition?
If I was doing it, I would choose my song.
Right.
Because I think it's the better of the two.
And would you, what kind of visual style would
I would do an amazing parody of a cooking show, making meatballs. Mm. I would have a sidekick who would be a little man that was made out of meatballs.
Yeah.
And it would have some innuendo in it.
Right.
And then at the end, it would pan down to my balls. And they would be made of meat.
Yeah, the meatballs.
Little meatballs. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. I'm now thinking of something bad.
What, somebody having a nibble?
No, I'm saying that...
I pour tomato sauce on them. What are you worried about, Jude? I'm talking about meatballs.
I don't know what you're thinking about, Jude.
Jesus,
but you have got your mind firmly in the toilet, and I'd like you to get it out of there. Because this is a family show, and I don't even know... You're adding all kinds of layers of innuendo.
Jude.
Adam. Are not welcome. You know, this isn't the Alan Carr show. I don't know what you...
When Adam and I say balls, we mean meatballs.
I was trying to get away from that whole area, Joe.
I was just trying to lay down the ball law. Anyway, that's what I'd do, and I'd upload it, and I'd win the competition.
Yeah.
I'd meet myself.
I mean, that sounds like a big production number, though. A simpler thing.
No, it's all one take, and I filmed it on my I filmed it on my camera phone.
That's very modern.
Because I know Adam and Joe don't care about tech specs.
Exactly. What about, could you even just do a lip-syncing thing?
Yes.
That's acceptable.
Yes.
Is absolutely anything acceptable?
Anything. Everything will be viewed.
Except we don't want to encourage you to send in anything revolting or illegal or...
Unless you're very attractive.
Pornographic.
No.
Yeah.
What?
Okay. Oh, look at Jane.
Just fallen face. Judging the competition.
Have fallen.
Judging the competition will be Adam Buxton, Joe Cornish, and the Big Shot film director, Garth Jennings, who's a close friend of the show and Song Wars and made Son of Rambo and Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. So if you're good, he might hook you up with a Hollywood deal.
Absolutely.
He won't.
Go and check out the Six Music website for all the details you could possibly need. Here is Calvin Harris.
No.
No.
News.
News.
Here's Calvin Harris reading the news.
On digital radio and online, BBC Six Music.
Tory chairman responds to expenses allegations.
That's the Stripples, White Stripes with There's No Home For You Here. This is Adam and Joe here on BBC Six Music. Now, the last time we were on air, about 3 weeks ago, we had a really good time listening to some of your juvenilia that you sent us in. Juvenilia, of course, being works of art that you created as a youngster, which we asked you to contribute to the show, and we got some amazing stuff.
Yeah, kind of childhood pop culture imitations, you know, when you try and write a book or make a film or put on a play as a child, and it gives you a weird kind of juvenile take on the pop culture of the time.
And in fact, we got a load more through in the intervening weeks, some of which we'd like to share with you, and we thought maybe this could even become a semi-regular feature.
A little corner.
To the extent that I made a jingle, Joe.
Did you?
Yeah, I did.
Oh, how exciting.
I'd done a jingle. I'd done a couple of jingles.
No.
Because, but both of them, I think, may be unusual.
Let's hear them.
Well, the thing is that one of them features my young son, Natty, who
that
is
sounds good.
3 years old. So I thought, you know,
perfect.
Juvenilia. But the problem is, it's a little nauseating for some people to hear other people's children being used in kind of a cutesy way.
I'll be the judge of that.
So let's play Natty's one. Maybe I should play the other one first, because I did a version of me singing so you could kind of hear the words of the jingle in a kind of strange voice. But then after I'd done it, I thought, it sounds like a kind of Dangerous Criminals Escaped.
Right.
Anyway, listen to the first one. This is my one.
Here's something that I got when I was extremely young. It isn't a genitalia, but it is only juvenilia.
I like it.
Yeah.
Are we going to get the same song sung by Nat now?
Well, a similar version.
Okay, let's hear that.
Here's something that I done when I was very young. It is a good looking
kid. It's fun for some juvenilia.
That's good. We got to use the second one. He sounds like he might kill one day.
Yeah, well, he's in his video game phase at the moment.
Oh, that's lovely. I think we should definitely go with the second one. So it's a regular section of the show. How exciting. It's juvenilia. It's your sort of pop cultural inventions that you did as a kid. And if you were listening, that was really good, Adam. Well done. Seriously.
Thanks, man.
Very good.
Thanks,
Natty.
Look
forward to hearing that. Thank you, Natty. Superb work. And you might remember, if you were listening a few weeks ago, we had a homemade magazine that a gentleman called Leon Trigg made about Arnold Schwarzenegger when he was, I don't know how old, but if he was anything over 13, then he was in serious trouble. It's done beautifully on an Amstrad PC1592. Was that what it was called? Do you remember those old Amstrad word processors? That's how Alan Sugar made his fortune.
That's right.
Is it? I don't know. But anyways, it's very evocative to look at it. And there's a letters page. And obviously, Leon has written both the questions and the answers to the questions he's replying to. Does that make sense?
Yes.
We read some of them out a few weeks ago, but I didn't really communicate the full amazingness of them. So here is the Schwarzenegger magazine question page. Question one is, Dear Leon, is it true that Arnold asked if he could have a part in a film, but the other person said, capitals, no way, a reject like you wouldn't get anywhere in acting? Here's the answer. Yes, what actually happened is when Arnold was 19, he asked if he could take up professional acting, but the other person said, no way, you have an awful voice, a disgusting body, and you won't get anywhere in life. I bet he wishes he hadn't said that now. It's one of Leon's questions and answers. Dear Leon, has Arnold ever had any problems because his muscles are too big? Yes, he once had to write with his arms straight because he couldn't bend his arms because his biceps were so big. Imagine.
Asked and answered by Leon.
By Leon. And the final question, which makes me laugh, is, Dear Leon, I've heard many rumours that your parents have seen Arnold. Is this true? If so, how did they get to see him? Yes, it is true. They didn't only speak to Arnold, but they also spoke to everybody in Miss Olympia, because they went to the Miss Olympia show in Madison Square Gardens in New York to see if Corey Everson would win for the fourth time, and she did.
Oh, dear. And that magazine we've put up on our website. If you go to the Adam and Joe corner of the BBC Six Music website, you'll see a little Juvenilia link, and you can have a look at Leon Schwarzenegger magazine, even though the sizes of images on BBC websites are standardised.
Right.
So you can't read anything.
Oh, that's a shame.
And we can't actually make them bigger.
We can't put a PDF up there
because,
or something?
No, because the BBC have an official size.
Right.
For all their images, which renders them illegible. Nice work, Castle.
That's like Euro madness.
Yeah, so we're trying to get that changed. I don't know, all sorts of red tape to battle through.
Maybe we should try and put it up on one of our blogs.
Maybe we should. Well, there we go.
Okay, I'll take try it. And stick that on my
check Bucko's blog,
Adam,
for
adam-buckson.co.uk.
But do check out that Juvenilia section of our website. Here's a couple more. This is from Ryan O'Neill.
Right.
His name is actually Ryan O'Neill. He works in technology integration.
Not the same one, then.
I don't think so. He says, I know you were talking about self-published books and magazines and poems and stuff, but I did something maybe even a bit weirder than that. I used to put on a TV show called The Good Guy Ryan Show. It was by no means actually televised or recorded in any way whatsoever, or watched or viewed by anyone. It was just in Ryan's head.
Hey, this is, you did that as well, didn't you?
I had a whole channel, mate.
Yeah.
It wasn't just a show. So I feel particular affinity with this email. Ryan goes on to say, it was just me jumping around in my house, acting out this fairly detailed TV series. I played the main character, Good Guy Ryan, as well as his nemesis and evil twin, Bad Guy Ryan. The plot was that Good Guy Ryan had crashed landed his spaceship hundreds of years in the past while pursuing Bad Guy Ryan in the future for crimes of some sort for some reason. So he's crash landed his ship in the past and its time circuits are broken, but the thing can still fly around. Most of the episodes consisted of Good Guy Ryan flying all over the world in search of parts he needed to fix the time thingy. Anyway, the best bit about this is Ryan saying, I remember quite vividly I would act out these TV shows a series at a time, each one with a last episode and a cliffhanger. At the beginning of and end of every single episode, I would hum the theme tune, which was the theme tune from Minder. Only all electric guitar up. I love it that you just used the theme tune from Minder for a completely unrelated program.
I could be so good for you.
Yes, Good Guy Ryan, isn't it?
I could be so good, Guy Ryan.
For continuity, the spaceship interior mimicked a 1990s household. This explained the fact that the wardrobe door handles were actually navigation pedals, and the bay window in the living room was a laser cannon aiming pod thingy.
That's a good idea, man. That's almost the plot for the video game Pikmin.
Is it?
Yeah, he crashes his ship and you have to go around trying to find bits for the ship to get it going again.
Here's one from Vicky Harper. She says, this isn't a poem, but it's a song me and my two sisters wrote when we were about eight. My sister had the idea of having the Present Money Club, known as the PM Club. The idea being that we would meet weekly, put in some of our pocket money, and discuss what presents we would buy throughout the year. At the end of each meeting, we would sing a song to the tune of Greensleeves. The PM Club has finished now, has finished now, has finished now. Our money in our little tin, we must say goodbye. I've lost the tune. Oh, dear. Anyway, it's a fairly tragic song. The lyrics end, we raise money for birthdays in the year, Christmas and birthday, that is what we do. Sad to say, the PM Club folded after about three meetings. There were only five birthdays to discuss. But to this day, being in the PM Club is our euphemism for being premenstrual.
Very nice.
Very nice.
Hey, incidentally, last time we were talking about Steven!
Yes.
And have you seen that thing on YouTube that someone's done?
Somebody's made a really quite cleverly made
little
trailer. Yeah.
It's great. Check it
very
out.
Very good. Well, what's that guy's name? We don't know.
Nigel.
Thank you, Nigel. We saw that and it was well wicked. Here's another slightly questionable one. This is from Dan Lett. He says, when I was a kid, I was a big fan of Judge Dredd, the futuristic policeman who starred in the popular science fiction comic 2000 AD. When I was 12, I decided to write and draw my own comic strip in a similar style. For reasons I still don't understand, I set it in Jamaica, and the lead character was a black policeman called Judge Fred. I rediscovered my comic several years ago and was horrified to find that it was riddled with racist stereotypes and slurs. Judge Fred was lazy, stupid, and shambolic. I'd written all the dialogue in a grotesque 12-year-old's interpretation of patois and having little idea of what Jamaicans actually looked like. I had literally filled the background of every frame with palm trees, coconuts, and cans of lilt.
I'm just grateful no one outside my immediate family ever saw it. In a bizarre twist of fate, I'm currently editing an academic book on racism.
Hmm.
And he's a PhD candidate at the Department of Sociology at the University of Victoria.
I thought you were going to say, in a bizarre twist of fate, I'm currently the Prime Minister of England. Yeah, thank you very much for all your juvenilia. That's a possibly semi-regular feature here on the Adam and Joe 6
News. Oh, possibly semi, is it now?
Well, I don't know. We don't want to tie ourselves
You're
to
quite right.
It happening every week. Might drive us insane. That jingle alone would make us go mental. But now, here's another exciting trail about the imminent arrival of Lauren Laverne here at the Big British Castle.
Lauren Laverne on Superpowers.
That was Black Kids with Hurricane Jane. And this is Adam and Joe here on BBC Six Music.
Can I read you one more juvenilia thing?
Yes, please.
This is our brand new segment that's sprawling all over the place of weird stuff you did as a kid. It's going slightly off topic, this, because, no, I suppose it's on topic. It's a game that somebody made. Did you ever design board games as a kid?
I must have done. They can't have been very good.
I certainly did. I'll have to think hard to remember what it was. But it's a phase most people go through. You know, you get obsessed with board games, you try and make your own one, and, you know. A listener called Andrew from Sheffield said, I listened again to last week's show, thought you'd be interested in something my brother made as a child. It was not literally a game. What? It was not literary, but a game. And it was a game called Peg Pain. In this game, you had to put as many pegs as possible on various body parts, e.g. ears, nose, etc., until the pain was too much.
See, etc., I'm worried about.
I don't remember the rules, or even if there were any, but he constructed a box and made it into a proper board game.
Peg Pain.
I think it would probably market today. I think it would, but I think it would be on sale
for the jackass generation
in Anne Summers, which is now, of course, called Sluts or Fledge.
Fledge.
But keep those coming in. If you've got, books you wrote as a child, I sent some stuff to Jude. I sent some stuff that I'd made that I think will go up on the website. I've sent a copy of my thriller I wrote as a very young kid called The Silicone Factor.
Ooh.
I meant to call it The Silicon Factor, but I spelt it with an E, silicone.
Yeah.
And it's a kind of Frederick Forsyth-style political thriller.
The Silicon Factor.
Written by an 11-year-old.
What's The Silicon Factor? It's just sad.
It's about something about oil. But it's amazing. It's the worst political thriller ever written.
How long is it?
It stops on page 36 due to author boredom.
But it's very heavy. Surely.
It starts with a whole section about Russia copied from the Encyclopedia Britannica. Just to, you know...
Oh, please bring that in next time.
I will
time.
Bring it in.
Because I'd like to read a bit of it out on the air. Well, that's pretty much it for our show, listeners. Thank you very much indeed for emailing us and texting us this week. We really appreciate it.
Don't forget our amazing competition. Check out the Adam and Joe section of the BBC Six Music website for details.
And we have Liz Kershaw. She is ready to go. She's going to be joining you in just a second, so stick with us here at Six Music.
And we're going to play out with a final free play. This is from a soundtrack of a film called Over the Edge, which has just come out on DVD for the first time ever in the UK. It's one of my favourite films ever. It's about kids who go mad and smash up their school in a very meaningful and ethical way. Yeah?
Yeah.
But it's brilliant, Over the Edge. And this is a song from the soundtrack. We'll see you next week.
Actually, we won't, unfortunately.
We'll see you the week after next.
Apologies for sort of coming and going like some kind of very bad boyfriend stroke girlfriend. But, it's the summer.
That's enough of an excuse.
Sorry, excuse.
We'll see you the week after next. Until then, this is Cheap Trick with Surrender.